Hello and welcome to the first ever edition of the Sports Gig Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Chris Bacon. Now, this is a show geared towards people who are either working in the sports media industry or those who are looking to pursue a career in sports media. We'll talk to professionals from all over the sports world, including pro sports, college sports, amateur sports, and much, much more. Just remember, every sport has some sort of media component to it, from reporters covering the sport to public relations and marketing professionals who work with the press or create content for the public to see. You know what? We're going to talk to those people. They may not be household names, but they are vital to those who want to work in the business. We'll also look at trends, news in the sports media industry, and opportunities that are out there right now. So let's get started.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Nom, 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 nom. It's bacon!
This is our Bacon's Bits part of the show. Get it? A few quick hitters on the sports media industry. The NFL season's here. It looks like ABC is making a play to get back in the mix. Front Office Sports is reporting that the Disney-owned company is in talks with the league about a new TV package. The network used to air Monday Night Football until 2005 when it moved over to ESPN, also a Disney company. Games could be simulcast on both networks as a part of the deal, and ABC could potentially get back into the Super Bowl rotation as well. Sports Business Journal reports that DAZN, spelled out D-A-Z-N, laid off about 2% of its workforce. The cuts include 50 employees in the United States and Brazil who work for marketing and production. The layoffs come nearly 6 months after the streaming service furloughed employees at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. One company expanding in the United States is Atalanta Media. The company just partnered with NBC Sports to bring FA Women's Super League Soccer to the network for 2020-21. Atalanta Media is co-founded by former Sky executive Hannah Brown and Esmeralda Negron, who played collegiate and professional soccer. NBC will have 50 matches on its platforms in the U.S., with additional matches on the web and the NBC Sports app. For our first episode, we have two special guests with us today from the Nashville Sounds. First, Chad Seeley, who's been with the organization since 2015. He serves as the Director of Media Relations. He's also responsible for writing and distributing press releases, game day operations in the press box, co-managing the team's social media efforts, media requests, and provides content for team publications and the website. Before he got to the Sounds, Chad worked for the Reno Aces, the Clinton Lumber Kings, and the Daytona Cubs. Also with us is Abby Holman. She's been with the Sounds since 2018. She started as a seasonal associate working with social media and was promoted to her current position as digital marketing manager in 2019. She oversees the team's digital and social media, which include content creation and analytics. And before coming to Nashville, she worked as a social media intern for the Kansas City Royals, the Gateway Grizzlies, and the University of Missouri women's basketball program. First, welcome, Chad and Abby. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks for having us, Chris. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Obvious question right now, and you know, with the times that we're in, you know, how are each of you holding up with the current COVID-19 pandemic, just personally, and then how you're handling things work-wise?
Personally, so far, so good. It was a big adjustment, obviously, going from our office to we were at home for about 3 months. And that was right off the heels of the tornado, too. So there was a lot going on kind of that beginning of March and then the big switch. We do get to see each other every couple of days. We're back in the office a little bit, getting a little more normal, at least from that side. But just trying to go with the flow like everybody else, I guess.
Yeah. How about you, Chad?
Yeah. Personally, it was okay. Abby and I were lucky enough to, you know, still have a job during this time. A lot of people in our industry are not so lucky, and we're greatly affected by it. So I got by, working from home for me was tough. Going from being at the ballpark every day during the season, our days can be anywhere from 8 to 15 hours. So then working from home and only home was tough for me. It was easily distracting being at home. So I liked the return to the ballpark in that sense. And personally, I just did some things that I didn't I don't normally get to do during the summer, because we're always so busy at the ballpark, and not having a season this year was tough professionally, but I won't lie to you, personally, it was a little bit easier for us. I shouldn't say a social life, because we really couldn't have a social life, but you know, I like staying active, so it was nice for me to be able to do some things that I don't normally get to do as much.
Oh, I can imagine. Usually it's every summer, it's ball game, ball game, ball. And it's not like you're working a regular 9-to-5 job anyway. I mean, you're working all day and all night in most cases on game days.
Yep. Absolutely. You hit it right on the head.
We had quite a few coworkers that were able to spend time with family a lot more. And we have staff that have kids and stuff like that. And I know that they are definitely taking advantage of that time and enjoying being home with family, because it's all you really can do, but time that they wouldn't normally get to have. And I think we've heard from several players and stuff as well that that's been a big thing for them. And a positive in all of it was just being able to be around their family when they normally wouldn't be.
Right. Now, we talked about, Chad, you mentioned earlier about, you know, a lot of people without jobs and in the industry. How is that, you know, just from your viewpoint, how is the market right now for sports media jobs in minor league baseball?
Oh, man. It's a tough question to discuss, but, you know, we knew, you know, when this whole thing started back in March and it got close to the season, and we kind of heard, you know, things would at least be delayed to start, right? When spring training shut down back in early March, was, I think, everybody kind of hitting the panic button and what's going to happen. So in early April, we started hearing about some teams in minor league baseball that were doing furloughs or, you know, laying people off completely. You know, I won't mention specific team names, but, you know, I had heard that, you know, Team X was down to 4 people in their office, and that's a AAA team. So, you know, when you hear that, and we were a staff of, gosh, close to 50 people full time, and it's one of the biggest staffs in minor league baseball, you know, you start to wonder, you not only personally, but for your coworkers too, of, you know, are we going to make it? Are we going to be okay? You know, we have such a big staff that you just wonder how long, you know, management and ownership can go without having playing games. And, you know, unfortunately we had some cuts. Credit to our ownership and Frank Ward. He waited as long as he could. You know, we tried so many different things to keep baseball going despite not having an actual minor league season. We just couldn't get that clearance from the city leaders. We had a lot of great work and partnerships with the health department, but ultimately that was the undoing of some cuts here with Nashville. You know, speaking in broad terms, as a whole, I think that it's still a really difficult time. I don't think anybody's really hiring for the most part. I think maybe there's a few organizations. NFL, I've seen some recent hires, which is great because they're actually playing. But you still see layoffs and people being let go. So it's I still think it's a difficult time. And I think it's going to be a difficult time for at least the next calendar year.
Wow. How about from your vantage point, Abby, with, because I know both of your job roles are different. You handle more of the social media and the marketing side of it. Is that any different than the more the day-to-day communications from the club, or is it pretty similar to what Chad was talking about?
Yeah. So Chad and I work kind of in tandem, where if you see anything on social, it's usually me or Chad. There are a couple other people that pop in every now and then, but my primary job, at least during the season, and kind of during this weird couple of summer months where we were just trying to kind of keep content going, was that content creation on our social channels. Anything that's more specific to baseball and the baseball side of things is usually Chad. So as far as like game updates, while we are playing, that's usually Chad. Any press releases is Chad. But we work very closely knowing the same kinds of things. So we both know who's on the team at all times. And Chad relays that to me. And then I'm able to help our graphics department and the other marketing side keep photos up to date and that kind of thing. So we work very closely in that. And then just knowing, like today, for example, there was a article that was written about the private batting practices that we've been doing, or a video. And he's like, hey, have you seen this? I can go ahead and share it on our channels if you haven't. Well, I hadn't seen it. So he went ahead and scheduled that out, got it up on Twitter and Facebook. So we kind of work in tandem that way. And have kind of gained a balance, I'd say, probably over the past 2 years of figuring out what that looks like and how those operations look. So social landscape has definitely looked a lot different this year, but we've done our best to kind of keep that content there and try to stay engaged with our fans. So
now, for you mentioned the batting practice. For those who don't know, what is that promotion? an idea that you had to try to keep things going a little bit during the pandemic?
Yeah, so we're very limited in how many people we can have in the stadium for obvious health and safety reasons. And we've been working with the health department in the city to kind of try to find something that we can do to get people in here. And we know fans wanted to do things. It was hard watching all of these other minor league teams in different cities doing movie nights or doing fireworks shows from their parking lots. And we don't have a parking lot where we can do that. And we couldn't invite 500 people into our stadium just with what the health department and the city were comfortable with and with the guidelines they were following. So we've got private batting practice going right now for groups of about 15. Minimum of six people, and your group can come rent the ball field for an hour and take batting practice, hit from our pitching machine, shag fly balls, kind of use the field as you'd like. We've had a couple teams come out, and there was a group yesterday that they were taking their own grounders and fly balls and using the pitching machine stuff as well. So I'm kind of using it however you'd like, and just getting your group out here to have a good time and enjoy the ballpark in a way that you normally wouldn't. We haven't done this before, at least to my knowledge, at this stadium. So I know a lot of people are excited about the experience to be on the field and get to see it a little differently than they would.
So you tell me neither one of you had the blueprint in a college class on how to handle baseball operations in a pandemic?
I can't say that I remember ever going over that.
No. Yeah. So how have you adjusted? You know, there's no blueprint for stuff like this, that we've never seen it, you know, and how do you handle that, especially when you've got, when you're seeing the business side of it, being limited in staff, limited in capabilities, you know, how do you overcome, how do you do that? What do you need to do in order to try to keep things going?
You're forced to be honest. And if you don't adjust, then you're either the organization's not going to make it or you're not going to make it, you know, in your job. So, you know, from the get-go, I think one of the things that has saved us is the amount of ideas that have come in from our staff and on things that we can do while we cannot play baseball. At some point, you know, for-profit organizations have to make money. It's just how, you know, it is what it is. You know, we're not going to have an actual baseball game from August of 2019 to April of 2021. And who knows what it looks like in April 2021. So right now, we're doing everything we can to bring people into the ballpark safely, to continue to generate revenue, and be that community asset that we always try to be. Just because there's no baseball doesn't mean that, you know, we just shut it down and nothing happens. You know, it's kind of a funny thing. Like, people always ask, like, what do you guys do in the off season? Like, do you still work or do you just kind of like go on vacation? Like, Yeah, we just go on vacation for 7 or 8 months. And everything just falls magically into place once the season starts, right? So it's been a little bit longer of an off season for us, and you know, we're starting to shift our attention towards obviously what we can do in the present to keep people coming to the ballpark, but we're starting to shift towards 2021 already, and it's going to be a challenge, and we're going to have to make a lot of different changes as we go through the planning process.
So as you're looking towards 2021, you probably are starting to look at operations, people, and a big part of your operations for both of you are interns. How do your internship programs work, first of all, with the Sounds?
Yeah. Well, I'll start in my specific department and role. We have always had a media relations assistant, and this person can come from anywhere. I've had people from Virginia, New York, California. That person will work around 38 hours per week or so. We are in charge of everything from media relations to public relations to baseball information, to creating those relationships with the external media, pitching story ideas, getting to know our players and our coaching staff is incredibly important to that in that role. Writing, helping with social media and being a creative, all those different things go into the role. The baseball winter meetings are a huge resource for people trying to get into this industry, especially at the internship and entry-level positions. I often look at people who go to the baseball winter meetings and are looking for jobs. I'm a little biased towards it because that's how I got my start, but I'm definitely not, I don't pigeonhole it into being a qualification. This person can come from wherever. They can be local, they can be from far. It's all about who they are as a person and what they can bring to the table, what they can contribute, and the effort that they can put into it.
And Abby, you work with on the marketing side. You do work with social media, and you have a street team too that you guys work with, right?
Yeah. So we have a couple different kind of internships or positions that are more seasonal. So we have like the role Chad was just talking about is a seasonal role that starts a little bit earlier than a traditional internship might. So I think February, early March is typically when his starts. And there's a couple other people on staff that have a more seasonal, like you're there for the full baseball season. So it's not necessarily just for like a college student's summer months. And that's a little bit more of our promotions team. So the street team, we call them brand ambassadors, because we try to give them a more experience than just kind of the promotions staff that you would typically see at the game. So they're able to do office hours and kind of shadow under different positions within our office. So if they're interested in social media, they can spend time with me and seeing what I do on a day-to-day basis and shadow me during a game. If they're interested in community relations, they can spend time with that team, or the ticket sales side usually has a good chunk of people that just kind of want to know what that's about and what they do, since that's it's a bigger gateway into sports is kind of those ticket representative positions. So that group is also helps with our game days. So they're the ones who help with in between inning games and helping with our mascot, helping with our MC, in that kind of position. But it gives them a really broad exposure to the organization as a whole, and they're kind of able to take from that what they want and learn about the specific positions, and maybe it's a little bit more of an overview of the whole organization, which is kind of how my first internship was. I was technically a media relations and marketing intern, but I was an independent baseball team, and in indie ball you kind of do whatever the heck they need you to, because you're just hands. And so I got to do a lot of operations things. I did a lot of kind of more media relations side than I have anywhere else, of just getting to know the coaches and players a little bit more and differently since they're right there. And they, what other, like concessions and operations side, they always needed extra hands doing things. So that kind of role gives you a little bit more of an overview of all of the sides of an organization that you might not see if you're just a marketing intern or if you're just a media relations intern.
You were talking earlier, Chad, about skill sets and what they can bring to the table. What it seems like from both the responses from both of you, there's a lot. There don't have very many one-trick ponies out there where you just specialize in one thing and then that's it. You know, what kind of skill sets really get your attention, and when you're like, oh yeah, this is gonna put this person at the top of our list when we're looking for interns?
Yeah, for me, there's two big things that immediately come to mind. Is number one is your communication skills, all kinds of communication skills. What we do is, you're working in the communications department. We are communicating constantly with our players and our coaching staff and the media. So if you can't do either of those things, or if you're not comfortable doing it, and there is a certain level to getting comfortable with it. Most people aren't just born with it. They can't just walk into a clubhouse of professional baseball players and, you know, feel immediately comfortable, right? So, but if you can't get there, it's going to be really tough for you to succeed kind of in this position, unless you're extremely skilled in some of the other areas. The ability to pitch story ideas and to talk to the external media and to bring them to the ballpark so they can share your story is incredibly important for us. Getting that exposure is what brings people to the ballpark when they see stories. Right. The other one is writing, the ability to write, both AP style and feature writing and in different types of writing is incredibly important. We produce so many different pieces of content on a daily basis that has to be buttoned up. We're pushing that out into the public. So if you can't be a good writer and, you know, comfortable in that area, you're probably going to struggle too. And again, that's something that you get better with in time as well.
All right. How about you, Abby?
Yeah. I think having just a diverse background, my background's kind of all over the place. But I think that really shows me that someone is able to do different things and adapt in a way that helps them succeed in their role. I didn't have a ton of experience or a ton of time in baseball or in when I came here, but I had two internships and I had worked in magazines and design for 3 or 4 years. And I think that gave me a lot of a different background and has definitely benefited me in my current role. And so I think that if you're able to tailor the experience that you've had and the experience that you know and kind of tell the story of how that will work for you in this position that you're looking at or what you can bring to the table, that just shows whoever you're working with that you're going to be able to be flexible and know a lot of different varieties of things and be able to learn about a different variety of things for your position.
All right. Now, we talk a lot about interns and getting started, but you there's obviously a ton of experienced people out there in the sports media industry that even now they may have to shift roles, find different positions when there's cuts and whatnot. For those experienced people who are out there, what areas of growth do you two see in minor league baseball to where this is what minor league baseball is really going to need moving into, let's just get out of 2020, just forget about it, 2021 and moving ahead. What are the areas of growth that you see?
Well, I think that in general, the media landscape is kind of shifting more towards, video content and away from print journalism. The more creative and skilled a person can be, the better they are for an employer. If they can edit video, if they can host a show, if they can write copy for social media, all different things like that are going to be incredibly important moving forward if you want to work in that realm. You know, like Abby mentioned before, with our promo, our street team program, you may start, they get their hands on different things, but they may come into that role with an idea like, okay, I want to run social media for a team, you know, as my full-time job. We may expose them to a different area of it. Let's just say sales, and they fall in love with it. They may leave the street team program with an idea of, all right, I want to get away from social media and I want to be in sales in baseball. So I think, as always, when you're young and you're an intern and you're kind of just getting started, just keep your eyes open and be open to change, because even myself, like I grew up wanting to be a play-by-play broadcaster. I did that for a couple of years, but I fell in love with something else, and I was willing to go away from my dream to kind of further my career. So, you know, the more flexible you are and open to change, the better.
I definitely echo Chad on the creative side. We have been trying to grow our creative team, and I think that's what you'll see a lot of teams and a lot of organizations are trying to do. They're looking for people that can help generate and bring those ideas to the table. I don't necessarily edit video or edit photos or anything on a daily basis. I have a little bit of knowledge, but I can help articulate a creative idea and talk through with our creative team, and Chad and I do it all the time with the rest of our marketing team of, okay, we have this cool idea, and maybe I'm not necessarily the one who can like physically execute it, but I can help bring it to life. And so even if you're not a video editor, if you're someone who can help generate those creative ideas, that's something that's invaluable in any organization. And so I would just encourage people to kind of explore that route, even if they think they're not creative. I don't know that I would have like touted myself as extremely creative, going into things, but, the more you learn about your role and the more you learn about where you work and your organization and pop culture, the more creative you can be. I think that's definitely a large place of growth in the industry. So.
Gotcha.
I think another area for students or those getting into it is to expand your graphic design skills. Any chance that you may have at getting a Photoshop tutorial or InDesign or Illustrator, absolutely take advantage of that. You know, we have Adobe, you know, suites, you know, in our organization. Having, you know, being a part of that, like I get emails all the time, and this just happened a couple of weeks ago. Adobe's running like a free workshop coming up in October, and I myself still, like I know my way around Photoshop and all that stuff, but I'm by no means even close to being an expert. Despite me not doing that, like for our organization, like I'm still going to sign up for those and take those classes because, for one, it's free. Number two, I have the time. And three, it's only going to make my skill set better.
Yep. Yeah. And personally, I've worked in public relations and in marketing as well. And the lack of skills that I should have taken advantage of in opportunities in Photoshop. And it's like, boy, it'd be great to get this promotion up there. All right, who knows graphic design? And then you'd hear crickets. It's like, we got these great ideas, but who knows how to actually put it together? Nobody. Mm-hmm. And yep. Same thing with video too.
Yeah.
So
that's such a big part of what, you know, the creative world is right now, right? So if you can't do that stuff, you're going to have a hard time finding a job. But if you have those things on your resume and you can create samples of what you've already done, that's a huge leg up on your competition.
Yep. And those infographics and social media, they don't create themselves, right?
No. And we definitely, like, we're in those programs. I'm in those programs almost daily. And I may not be creating something from scratch, but I'm either helping give edits or direction, or I know Chad lays out your media guide in those, and or your game day pages I can't even remember anymore. It's been so long. But we're in them all the time, whether it's just for making things look more clean and professional, or whether it's actually creating something from the ground up. So even if you don't feel confident in it yet, you can always learn over time. And I know that's what you guys have done on the media side, at least.
So what, as we wrap up here, 2020, let's just say it sucked. It's just absolutely sucked. And as we're looking ahead, and it's good that you guys are looking ahead to 2021, what do you want personally? What do you want to see out of your own roles? And just what are you hoping to do once baseball season comes around again in the spring?
I think we had goals for 2020 that I would still like to accomplish. From the social and digital side, I think my least favorite thing that I put on social but is vital to our survival as an organization is like selling things. You look at college is like kind of the prime example in my mind. You look at collegiate teams and they're not pushing tickets. They're not pushing theme nights necessarily or promotions. That's very important in our world, but it looks cooler when you don't, I guess. I don't know. The cool factor is having those cool videos and cool graphics and stuff like that and not feeling like you're always selling things. And I think that was something we were going to look toward figuring out how to kind of make ourselves go a little bit more that direction for 2020. And it may not be possible in 2021 either, because we do also acknowledge that that's it's very important. It's how people get their information. It's how people know that there's a bobblehead night or a t-shirt night, or that we're playing at 7:05 instead of 6:15 or whatever it may be. And so finding that balance was a goal of mine for 2020. So I'm just kind of looking to what that could look like for 2021, I guess.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just kind of getting, well, for one, getting back to a sense of normalcy, which is what everybody wants. And then, you know, professionally is just continuing to be open, and our world and what we live in the social media and the media age is just constantly changing. So if we can be at the forefront of that change and continue to stay on top of the popular trends and not be behind that, you know, that's always a goal for me and for our communications and marketing departments and our creative staff. So we have always had the resources here in Nashville with the in our organization to create content. So I have always wanted to be, you know, the leaders in that industry in minor league baseball. There's no reason why we can't be at the top of that. And, you know, I think in the past we've done a fairly good job of creating content and creating some really cool pieces that people have really enjoyed seeing. We have an incredible creative staff from to graphic design, you know, that we still have. So, you know, we can continue to do things and put those stories out to people. One of the biggest challenges, real quick, in my job is the external media. You know, we're always up against the Titans, the Predators, even though we're nowhere near Knoxville, up against UT, Vanderbilt. We're a professional baseball team, and I think sometimes people forget that. Just because we're a minor league team doesn't mean, you know, we're not a professional team. So it's a constant battle for me to get that external media to the ballpark. In place of that, we have to be able to create our own content, you know, whether that's through print or through video, through social copy, anything like that. We have to always be creating that content to put in front of people, because we're not getting it at the rate that we used to from print journalism and TV stations. You know, it's just the way it is right now. I think as we continue down this pandemic road, it's only going to probably get worse. I know a lot of TV stations still aren't sending photojournalists out into the field, or, you know, anchors are doing it from home, or, you know, things like that. So it's still a difficult task, and it'll only make our job a little bit harder, but we can do it.
I know personally, I just want to get out to a ball game. It's like, we've been watching, you know, unfortunately we didn't get a minor league season, but with the majors, you're getting to watch baseball, but you miss the crowd and you hear a lot different things. I'm ready to hear the crack of the bat, the crowd roaring, hearing people, even the boo birds, the people yelling in the stand. I'm looking forward to all that. And, you know, personally, I'm hoping that we all get to experience that moving forward as we look ahead to 2021. Chad, Abby, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on. I really do appreciate it. That's Chad Seeley and Abby Holman from the Nashville Sounds.
It's not about the paycheck. It's about respect. It's about looking in the mirror and knowing that you've done something valuable with your day.
Need a job? Here's a few to pay attention to. The topic today was working in minor league baseball, and the Durham Bulls is looking for their next director of marketing and communications. This person will handle leadership for all public relations and communications efforts for the team and also serve as the chief spokesperson. You'll need a bachelor's degree, preferably in marketing, communications, business, or sport marketing, plus a minimum of 3 years of marketing and communications. Ideally, you'd have 3 to 5 years experience with social media and analytics. Know web design, Microsoft Office, and Adobe Creative Suite? Well, that'll help as well. For a full job description, go to teamworkonline.com. Our guests today are in Nashville, where the Tennessee Titans are looking for a coordinator of digital platforms. This person will help with the day-to-day with the Titans website, including content updates and maintenance. The person will also manage the team's mobile app, YouTube channel, and execute digital ad campaigns. You'll need a bachelor's degree and 1 to 2 years experience in digital, marketing, or strategy. For the full listing, go to teamworkonline.com. Sticking with the Nashville market, Vanderbilt is looking to hire an athletics communications assistant. The person will handle a variety of tasks, including social media accounts, PR for Vandy Athletics, and developing communications materials. A bachelor's degree is preferred, including knowledge of graphic design tools, HTML, and CMS. A full listing can be found on the Vanderbilt University website. That's all for our first episode of the Sports Gig Podcast. A special thanks to Chad Seeley and Abby Holman from the Nashville Sounds. Be sure to check out our website at sportsgigpodcast.com and follow us on Twitter at sports_gig.